South, the Jason Ranch here, brought to you by Robbins & Company Structural Moving and Foundation Repair. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. Producer Darren, press that button.
What's trending? Big picture.
So in July, Professor Christine Blasey Ford, she wrote a letter to Democrats, Congresswoman Anna Eshoo of California. And in this letter, she alleged that she was sexually assaulted by Brett Kavanaugh over 3 decades ago when he was in high school. This was part of a party that she was out. She alleges that his friend watched the entire thing go down. They were drunk. He groped her. He grinded on her. She alleges when she tried to scream out, she says that he put his hand over her mouth to silence her screams. It's a Supreme Court confirmation Me Too movement. And it's a moment that Senator Dianne Feinstein, who originally leaked out this information of this letter and sent the letter to the FBI, followed by a cryptic tweet sent out just a couple days ago, it's something that she knew about back in July, but for some reason decided not to question Kavanaugh about it, knowing that she could release it before the confirmation to slow everything down. She decided to go down that path. She wanted to delay the confirmation. Now, if you care about the Me Too movement, regardless of whether or not you believe Christine Ford, because everything she says, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. It happened over 3 decades ago, and there was never any investigation into this. And I know that they're calling for an investigation now. It's going to find absolutely nothing, because over 3 decades later, you're not going to be able to really prove anything unless all of a sudden everyone is lying right now, and they decide to open up and say, The witness in the room who said it never happened, well, I guess he could say, oh, it did. I suppose Brett Kavanaugh, who says it never happened, I suppose he can say, oh, no, I admit it, it did happen. Or conversely, Christina Blasey Ford could say, okay, I made it all up. Pushing that all aside, if you care about the Me Too movement, you should be disgusted by this. You should be disgusted by a politician using it at the last minute only to sink someone. That's the only reason she put this out there now. Why was it not sent out in July? I'm waiting for that answer. The Democrats have yet to provide that. Why was it not given to the FBI in July? Why did you wait until September, what, 14th, 15th, to put this out there? Just so happens so you can get a news cycle the week before, the week of, the actual confirmation vote in the Senate committee. Dianne Feinstein and Democrats are exploiting this for personal and political gain, and it's made worse if Christine Ford is actually telling the truth and was the victim. It's certainly bad if she's making it up. Some people are suggesting that. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. If Dianne Feinstein believes Christine Ford, then it's disgusting to exploit this story, to exploit this victim. And yeah, she's a victim. It's disgusting to exploit it for political gain, all because you want to stop a candidate at the very last minute. Here's Senator John Kennedy. He was on Fox News.
Now, Kavanaugh denies it. The only other person in the room denies it. Senator Feinstein's had the letter since July for 3 months. She said nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Zilch. She didn't say anything in the confirmation hearing. She didn't say anything in our confidential session with Judge Kavanaugh when the senators and the nominee met privately. And now, after it's all over, she produces the letter.
I'd like to know why. I'd like to know why. Now, that question is going to be asked this week. It's possible that we end up hearing from Christina. It's possible we hear from the judge. It's possible we hear both sides of things. I don't know if that's going to change anything. The Democrats have done themselves a disservice here, because if they had this at the beginning of the hearings, they should have used it rather than go through all of those stunts about, I am Spartacus, before, of course, he said he's not Spartacus. Rather than fight to delay this tooth and nail, they could have just used this solely to go after Brett Kavanaugh. But they chose to keep it secret, have it in their back pocket to use at the very last minute. They decided instead publicly to talk about a whole bunch of documents that no one gives a damn about and then use this at the last minute. The Democrats are going to be the reason why so many people do not believe this woman. because they have said and they have shown that they're going to stop at nothing to get in the way of Brett Kavanaugh becoming a Supreme Court justice. And because they've chosen to go down that path, what they ended up doing is hurting a potential victim from being hurt. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Your health.
Because some kids vape instead of use cigarettes, the FDA may take vaporizers completely off the market, which is a move that is both dumb and makes no sense whatsoever. But of course, it looks like a cigarette, so it must be just like one. According to the FDA, in a statement they wrote, the agency is asking each company to submit to FDA within 60 days plans describing how they will address the widespread youth access and use of their products. You have to be over 18 to purchase. Somehow it's the vaping company's fault that some company somewhere, some business somewhere is selling to kids. Or now they also supposed to find out and make sure that the adult who purchases one doesn't end up giving it to a kid. I love the argument here, mostly because the argument lacks all logic whatsoever. How do kids get access to booze? What do? They're either buying it illegally or they're getting it from an adult, rather in a sneaky way, going into your parents' cabinet and stealing some booze. Or paying some adult $20 to go into the store and buy them, you know, a six-pack or whatever? Should we be going after alcohol, too? Oh, okay, no. Because alcohol doesn't look like a cigarette. Alcohol can be bad. It certainly can be bad for kids, but it doesn't look like a cigarette, which is worse, I guess. They continue in this statement, if they fail to do so, or if the plans do not appropriately address the issue, the FDA will consider whether it would be appropriate to revisit the current policy that results in these products remaining on the market without a marketing order from the agency. This could mean requiring these brands to remove some or all of their flavored products that may be contributing to the rise in youth use from the market until they receive pre-market authorization, blah, 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 blah. So this whole idea, you've got these little e-packs, the juice. Is it called e-juice? What is it called? Because it tastes like a certain flavor. Yeah. E-juice, right? It tastes like a certain flavor. And by the way, I hate that. It can't be electronic juice. That doesn't make any sense, but they're going to go with it anyway. It tastes like fruit, like black cherry, and all of a sudden all the kids are going to want to take that. Okay, well then again, tell me the argument why we have black cherry flavored vodka, which is disgusting, but people suck it down anyway. Why do we have that? The logic doesn't make any sense. It's not going to be evenly applied across the board. But we see that some kids are using e-cigarettes. I'd prefer them using e-cigarettes than actual cigarettes. I mean, we want to pretend that kids aren't going to be smoking cigarettes if the e-cigarette wasn't there. But the truth is, and the data actually backs this up, they are skipping over the cigarettes that they would normally be smoking and instead going to e-cigarettes. Now, yes, maybe they think it's cool. I think it kind of makes you a little... I can't use the word I'd like to use, but it starts with a D and it ends in bag. But I mean, the truth is, that's what people look like. So it's not cool at all. And yet I'm told that all of this data, which they even admit doesn't exist, will somehow imply that kids are disproportionately seeking out electronic cigarettes. Instead of going with, say, oh, cigarettes are dead. They were never going to. Oh, we were this close. We were so close to just eradicating all nicotine use. Let's be clear about e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes are infinitely safer than cigarettes because of the vapor. And this isn't just me talking. This isn't me finding some blog out there. There are actual scientific data points, actual studies with actual data that say it's incredibly safer. And not to mention, by the way, for all those people out there who are on board, get rid of the vaporizers, get rid of them. Cigarette smoking is bad. Okay, you do understand that a huge majority of adults who use e-cigarettes are doing it so they can get off traditional cigarettes. They're still addicted to the substance. What do you think happens when you take away the e-cigarettes? They go back to the cigarettes, which, by the way, is worse for them. This makes no sense. Now, the FDA is going to claim that more than 2 million middle and high school students were current users of e-cigarettes in 2017, understand, because this is coming from one of those surveys that they do every single year. They might do it twice a year, studying and surveying the actions of high school and middle school students. And they do a whole host of, have you smoked weed, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff is asked. They count, they consider you a current user of e-cigarettes or weed or alcohol if you used it one time in the course of the last month when you took that survey. Now, when I was a kid, I sampled beer once and it was gross. Weirdly, I still think it's kind of gross. Not really a fan. If I took that survey after having one sip of beer and I answered honestly on the survey and said, yes, I've had at least one instance of beer, I would be considered a drinker, according to this study. Now, I didn't drink after that. I didn't drink any alcohol in the preceding months because I didn't like it. Same thing with e-cigarettes. Same thing with cigarettes. Someone takes a puff one time because they're kind of curious, as kids and teenagers tend to be. And this survey ends up claiming that they are regular current users of the substance, and then dopey scientists who are pretending really to be scientists, but they're really activists who work within the FDA and activists who are just anti-smoking, will then say, look at this data. Look at how bad it is. Oh my God, there's kids smoking up a storm. No, 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 it's not. No, 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 no. So everybody, chill out just a little bit. This is a stupid move. Hopefully, it is a feckless claim in this statement coming from the FDA because they want to give off the appearance of doing something. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. If you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. And of course, you can go behind the scenes of the show at facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. It's how you can see what it is we look like. We're very handsome. Everyone told us at the event that we did on Friday, they all came up to us, me mostly, sometimes Darren, but mostly me, saying, you're just so attractive, it's hard to believe that you're single. We're going to get into a little bit of that event and what I learned from the event, other than one key point, which I already knew, I'm really funny. We'll talk about that later in the show. Before that, I want to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who doesn't quite understand yet what brand management means. She doesn't really understand what that is. She decided to agree to a photo shoot for Interview Magazine, and that's totally cool. She should be doing all of the press as humanly possible if she wants to grow her brand. That is smart. Probably not smart is agreeing to do it in a $3,500 outfit, posing next to a whole bunch of construction workers that you say you care about fighting for. That's probably a mistake. Bigger mistake, pushing back and trying to defend yourself against the very reasonable critics pointing out the hypocrisy here. So she was decked out in a Gabriella Hearst blazer, $1,990 for that blazer. That costs more than anything I've ever purchased in one sitting.
I think if you
$1,990
piled up my entire wardrobe, it wouldn't.
No, you're wearing a sweat. Well, that sweatshirt probably set you back like $8.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a sweater. This is a $20 sweater, right, that I'm wearing. $1,990 for a blazer. Gabriella Hearst pants, $890. Again, I've splurged because, you know, I'm lucky enough that I've got the money that I can sometimes splurge. I buy jeans that maybe cost $175, and those jeans, by the way, will last me for like 5 to 10 years, so it's a good investment for me. $890. $890 for pants. And then she wore Manolo, how do I say it? Manolo Blahnik?
I'm not the right person
Manolo,
to ask.
Manolo Blahnik shoes, $625. Okay, so she says, I didn't purchase them. I was just renting them, or essentially borrowing them, and you give them back afterwards. That's not the point. That's not the point. It's literally not the point. The point is you are putting yourself in a position where you're wearing really ritzy clothing, which is not part of your brand, as what she loves to say, she's very good at thrift store shopping because she doesn't make that much money and she's able to really go ahead and then you should have gone to a thrift store and found some really, really nice clothing that otherwise would be expensive and then wear that on the cover of this photo shoot for Interview Magazine. Because to her point, you can find some really nice stuff that doesn't cost $1,990 for a blazer. This is about her brand. Let me ask you something, because I think she could learn a lot from Shama Sawant. Shama Sawant understands brand. She does. She falters every once in a while, but for the most part, she's always on brand. You will never see her in a $1,900 blazer, ever, even for a magazine. she will wear her own clothes. And something tells me she will insist that she wears her own clothes. Now, I've never seen her on the cover of a national magazine, and so maybe she would succumb to some of that pressure. But I'm willing to bet that she would still be very particular in the types of clothing that she wears on that cover, because she understands she's not there to look pretty in a $3,500 outfit. She's there to be the voice of her brand, to be the voice of socialism, something that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't quite understand, doesn't quite get. And she's so childish in her pushback. She always seems like a child when she gets called out. Remember what she did with Ben Shapiro? He offers to do a debate and she's like, oh, you're catcalling me. I mean, this is the she's a child. She is a child, and this is how children act. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. When we come back, Tim Iman stops by. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Are we closer to reinstating a $30 card tab fee? My next guest thinks, yeah, we're getting there. Joining me on the line is the anti-tax crusader who's been fighting to keep these onerous taxes as low as possible. Joining me on the line, Tim Iman. Tim, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jason.
So you're pushing for a flat $30 fee for card tabs. This is not the first time you've done it. How close are you to getting the signatures needed?
Well, I really appreciate it, and it's all vehicles. It's vans, SUVs, motorcycles, motorhomes, every vehicle, doesn't matter how much it costs, how much it weighs. Everybody pays a flat rate, $30. It's amazing. In the last 4 months, we've received 250,000 signatures, and we need 75,000 signatures in the next 3 months in order to get it over the finish line. So we're not at the halfway point. We're not at the two-thirds point. We're three-quarters of the way there with 3 months to go, but I don't want anybody to get cocky. We're hoping that people will help us, and our website is 30tabs.com if people can help out.
When people say no, that they don't want to, what's the reason they give?
What is the use? Haven't we done this multiple times? If it doesn't last forever, why should I sign your petition? And what I always have to emphasize to them is, guys, we kept them down for close to 15 years with those two earlier initiatives. It took them 15 years to get the guts up to ignore what the voters have done. It's only in recent years they've gone back up, and this new initiative just chops out all the taxes and fees that they've raised, imposed recently.
But there is the argument of the unconstitutionality of the previous ones. At least that is presumably a reasonable comeback. Why should we do this again if in the past we've tried to do it and it's been declared unconstitutional?
Well, the first time we did it, we did $30 tabs and voter approval for every tax and fee increase, whether it relates to tax to vehicles or not. We learned from that experience, got the car tabs down anyway because the legislature adopted it anyway. But the second initiative we did $30 tabs, and that's all we did, and that initiative was upheld by the courts. So this new initiative, but we learned a lot from that experience as well. And so this new initiative just simply is $30 for everybody in the state of Washington, and it says that everyone pays the same flat amount. But I have no doubt that this tug of war will continue, but it's not an excuse to say, well, just because I mowed my lawn a couple of times, it just keeps growing back, therefore I should stop mowing it. You've got to be willing to be persistent, especially when the government is so arrogant that they ignore us when we voted for this thing multiple times.
How are you actually getting the signatures? Where are you going? There are a lot of people out there, presumably, who want to sign it, and they haven't come across an avenue to do so.
Well, absolutely. It's, you know, it's 30tabs.com. Go to the website. It's 30tabs.com. I'll help you get a petition. Frankly, this year, I basically pulled out all the stops. My wife and I ended up selling off our retirement fund, and we loaned the campaign $500,000 from that retirement fund in order to have the seed money where we can use paid petitioners. So there are paid petitioners all throughout the state that have helped us get to this point, but it's our volunteers too that really, really make a difference. So whether it's donating money or helping collect signatures, we just need everyone to do their part because, you know, I can't do it alone. We helped a lot with that $500,000, but we need to raise a whole lot more and get a whole lot more volunteers in order to get this thing over the finish line by the December 31st deadline for signatures.
Tim, what's the plan to get the money back for you? If you're giving a loan, obviously the expectation is to get paid back.
At some point, yeah. And my expectation is that if we don't make it, no one's going to help. So I have every incentive in the world to make sure that this thing is successful. But once it's over the finish line, obviously it's going to probably take me years of fundraising for anything that I do in the future. But I really couldn't let go of this thing. When we fell short last year, I just felt like, you know, it's just something. I know the voters are there. I just feel it in my bones. And I just couldn't walk away from this fight. So we kind of, as they say in poker, we kind of went all in. To make sure that this thing is successful. And I have faith. I have faith that there are supporters out there that want to help this thing qualify. I think that I've got faith that the voters are going to vote for it. And I have faith that we drafted it carefully enough that it's going to deliver what it promises.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Tim Eyman. He is hoping to get your support, your signature on another initiative to get us back to the $30 tabs, 30tabs.com, if you want more information on where to sign a petition. At the same time, Tim, that you're giving $500,000 to this campaign, you are being targeted by the Attorney General, Bob Ferguson. This coming after the State Public Disclosure Commission, they allege you shifted money essentially from one initiative campaign to another, and that during that you got some kind of kickback. And right now you've got a Thurston County judge who has doubled his contempt sanction against you for not turning over documents that are supposed to be turned over to the state. What's going on there? How much more do you need to give to the state?
Well, this has been going on for 6 years. This is something that happened back in 2012, and we basically have a constant effort where the goalposts keep getting moved. So no matter how much information we give them, they ask for more. Where they had to go through, you know, decades of bank statements and tax returns and emails. My computer itself had over 2 million documents on it that all had to be sifted through by the lawyers, and then they get turned over, and then they say, well, that just inspires us to ask for more information. What you learn when it comes to government litigation, when they target somebody, it doesn't matter if you're innocent or guilty, saint or sinner, the process itself is the punishment. So I'm busting my tail trying to do everything I can to be able to survive, frankly, this onslaught that we've had over the last 6 years. The latest twist in the story is that now he's subpoenaed my wife, trying to bring her in to interrogate her for several hours, when in fact she's a full-time mom, has absolutely nothing to do with politics in my life. She's a very private person, but he's dragging through her through it. So there's no doubt that he's seeking to destroy me, destroy my family, make the entire thing an incredibly miserable experience. And all I'm asking people to do is to be able to help with our initiative. But I did launch a website and a GoFundMe page on my legal defense on Friday, and it's timdefense.com. It's timdefense.com, and I spend a lot of time on there really ripping into this beyond sleazy attorney general who seems to think that suing conservatives is the best way to become governor.
Well, he's clearly acting in a political way in lots of instances, but he's also got a judge now on his side, and it's strange credulity to believe that the judge as well is just doing this as part of some, you know, political payback, even if maybe that's how you got on the radar of Bob Ferguson. So, you know, how much of this is on you not giving the materials that they request simply because you don't think it's relevant?
It's not a matter of that at all. It's simply you turn stuff over, and then they say, well, based on what you've turned over, we now want more. And it just keeps going on and on and on. It's been happening for 6 years. I've gone through 3 depositions myself.
What do they want now?
They're going to do it.
What are they asking for now?
Just more stuff.
No, but be a little bit more specific. More like bank accounts?
That too, but they went through, my lawyers had to go through 2 million documents to try and find out what was responsive. We did the best we could with the limited resources we had. We turned over 350,000 documents to the state from my computer because they mirrored the hard drive. Once they received the 350,000, the state said, you know what, discovery has been so much fun for Tim Iman, costing him so much money. We would like to ask the state, the judge, we'd like 3 more months. To be able to continue this. So this thing is just now kicked into next year. I'm shoveling information to them as fast as I can, but it's like pouring water into a bucket with holes in the bottom. You just can't possibly satiate a government that just keeps asking for more information no matter how much you give them.
Is your intent to pay what they say you will now be hit with every single day that you don't turn over the documents they ask for?
Well, that's the way it's been since the beginning. It's not like I'm unaware that they got these fines. We have every incentive of the world to give them everything they ask for. The problem is that they just keep asking for more. So It is literally moving the goalposts at a constant rate. And so, you know, it's an awful situation. Anybody who's ever been involved with litigation will understand what I'm talking about, but normal human beings don't get in the middle of this kind of stuff. But I'm a conservative political activist. I know it comes with the game, but at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that I've done enough and I'm continuing to do enough to show that I'm truly committed to this effort, and I'm hopeful that people can help me. You don't win these kind of fights, you survive them. And so I'm hoping people will go to, again, that website. It's timdefense.com, timdefense.com, and read through it. And if you like what I do and you want me to keep doing it, I'd appreciate any support people can give.
If they don't like what you do, I hear you're giving them funds, correct? I'm kidding, of course.
Exactly.
TimDefense.com.
Exactly.
30tabs.com if you want to learn.
What is kind of neat about the initiative process is You even help your enemies. You know, we're lowering car tabs for everybody in the state of Washington, whether they want that tax relief or not. And if they feel immensely guilty about keeping more of their own money, I'm sure the state will voluntarily take whatever additional donations they want to give the government that they want. But we've been in this tug of war for 20 years, constantly putting initiatives on the ballot that put limits on the power of government. Voters consistently vote for our initiatives. They don't vote for all of them, but they vote for the majority of them. And every time we put one of those ideas forward, the other side attacks me, but the voters say, I don't care about Iman. What I care about is I like these ideas that are being brought forward, because unfortunately in a liberal state like Washington, you're not getting this kind of stuff out of Libya. Yeah. The only shot you've got is with the initiative process itself.
Well, there you go. 30tabs.com. That's the place you go if you want to sign the petition so we can get to a flat fee of $30 instead of the exorbitant amount that a lot of us are paying, a lot of you guys are paying. 30tabs.com. I've been talking with Tim Iman. Tim, as always, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, I really appreciate it. And if people go to the Puyallup Fair, that's another place they can get a chance to sign the petition. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Earthquake burgers, scones, and you get to sign a petition. 30tabs.com again is the place to go if you want to get more information. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. My latest blog is up right now. I would love it if you would read it. It's all about how Sue Bird, the Seattle Storm, foolishly decided to reject an invite from President Trump to visit the White House, only the invite never came. It didn't come. And I would argue that it's a smarter position to wait a couple weeks when the invite is clearly not coming, then to make a big deal about it. Because what happens now is she's taking this position, oh, I wouldn't go even if he invited me. Well, now all he has to do is, especially if you want to make the claim, if you're on the side that wants to make the claim in general that the reason why WNBA teams aren't getting invited has to do with sexism instead of the fact that only about 6,700 people go to their games on average every single game, then shouldn't you not give him the opportunity to say, oh, we were going to send it this time, but they told us they didn't want to show up, so we decided not to waste our time, because it seems like a political blunder to send an invite knowing that they're going to say no. But we would have loved to have them. It's unfortunate that they're acting like children, that Sue Bird is acting like a child who doesn't want to talk to someone who she disagrees with. I understand why some people don't want to go to the White House. I would understand that if it was some conservative athlete who didn't want to go to the Obama White House. I get it. I still think it's wrong. I still think that the symbolism of unity is more important, but okay, fine. The president says or does things you disagree with so vehemently that you're unwilling to get what very few people get, which is the opportunity to sit in an audience and have the president there for you to directly talk to. Okay, fine. You want to push that aside? Go for it. But shouldn't you have waited like a week or two? Because what's happening right now, besides me and the Seattle Times and everyone over the weekend talking about this story, it's going to go nowhere. In fact, the story is going to be folded into this idea of the celebration, which was not a huge celebration, even though I've noticed some photographers wanted to be very specific in how they took photos of this rally and celebration at Key Arena, which was almost completely empty except for very clear photos where you got a whole bunch of people in the background to give you the impression it was full. Because woke progressivism, that's the way to be. People are going to talk about they named one portion of First Avenue North Seattle Storm Way, I believe it is. Because you don't do that for the Sounders because there are no women on the Sounders team. And Mayor Jenny Durkin doesn't care about them. Just the same way that dopey Ed Murray pretended to care about the Sounders while mispronouncing everybody's names. I remember one time because I used to do the pre and post game show when they were on the our sister station. They've since moved. And so Ed Murray was getting a Golden Scarf Award. This was obviously before all the scandal. And I was going to do an interview with him in the pregame show. And in that capacity, I'm not talking politics. That's not what they pay me to do. They pay me to just talk about Sounders. And so, one, they wanted to make sure I wasn't his people wanted to make sure I wasn't talking politics, which is fine. You can do that because I talk politics for a living. I understand why they would be concerned. But number two, just want to make sure we're not going to get too much into the soccer aspect of the soccer interview. I was like, okay. It's kind of funny. He called Stephen Fry Stephen Frey. What did he, or Stefan?
What were you going to talk about, if not?
Just why, I can't remember why he got the Golden Scarf, which is their community service. So I can't remember what we were supposed to do, but I knew to lob some softballs to him, like, who is your favorite player? I like Clint Dempsey. If I said, well, what about the 4-2-3-1 formation? Do you like that? He'd go, what? Or like any other player, he would not have known, but I set him up to do the Clint Dempsey, and everyone, it was supposed to be, it was 2 minutes long, if not that, if like maybe 3 minutes. So it just seems like a bad blunder from Sue Bird to not be able to take the moral high ground. You rejected something before it showed up and before it was clear it wasn't going to show up. And it was not, it was very unlikely to show up, this invite, because they didn't do it with the Minnesota Lynx, I think the name of that team is, who won last year. It's not going to happen. Now, again, they'll claim sexism. I suppose, but is the president inviting smaller league teams who are champions into the White House? Is it more that maybe people don't care about the WNBA as much?
No, my college won the national championship for softball while I was there.
You were invited, though, to the White House?
No, no one was.
What? The Lute softball team didn't get invited to the White House?
They did not.
Did you get more than 6,700 people on average going to your games?
No.
That might also be part of it. If you want to read this blog and post it on social media, I would be very grateful. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770, and I will send you a link to my story that you should click on, and then you should post everywhere. Let's shine a spotlight on this nonsense. And that's what it is. It's nonsense. It's political. The Seattle Storm, they are political. The people who claim they like the Seattle Storm, they're acting in a way that is political. Let's call them out. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770.